Bibles, turn to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Appreciate the men singing. Appreciate our church. We're very blessed to have the talents we have, such as Miss Jessica just taking right over. And I really appreciate that. Miss Christy calls, said I'm sick. And I think her and Pastor are out eating ice cream tonight, Bluebell in Florida, but cowboy game, that's probably it. They're selling Bluebell at Jerry Stadium, I guess, maybe. And but no, Pastor and Miss Christy are sick tonight. And I always hate when Pastor's sick. It breaks my heart that I had to preach. So, but I do hate that he's sick. Got that upper respiratory stuff, so just having problems breathing. But he'll be all right. Who needs to breathe? And but I do thank the Lord for our musicians, Miss Linda and Miss Christy and Miss Jessica, even playing for Miss Abigail tonight. I know that was at the last minute, and she did very, very well. And that's a blessing to have that here. A lot of churches would love to have the musicians we have here, and the sound men and the IT guys back there. I mean, you know, a lot of churches. Trust me. Reason I played the piano is because the first church I went to didn't have a piano player, and it about drove me crazy. And so I learned to play piano just so I could be the pianist, and I led the singing from the piano. Sometimes that was always fun. I felt like Jimmy Swaggart over there, you know, you do what you have to do. And we are a very blessed church to have the pastor and the staff's okay. And the pastor's wife's good lady. And we're very blessed. We really are. And I was watching our guys play football this Friday night. And I'll tell you, I'm proud of our youth. Our youth, Brother Latta and Miss Julie's doing a great job. Brother Juan, Miss Eva. The character you see coming through these teenagers is unlike any other teenagers you'll find in this world today. And so we're very blessed here at this church. And don't ever forget that. Amen. Numbers chapter 13, verses 1 through 3 real quick. And then we're going to skip over to some other verses in the same chapter. Of course, the children of Israel just getting started in the wilderness. And just over a year. And the Lord is... Of course, we see a problem in this chapter, in chapter 13. We see a problem that should have never been a problem. And we'll look at that here in just a moment. But notice, if you will, verse 1 through 3, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I..." Now notice the past tense here. "I gave unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them." And of course, Moses consents to that, and he picks out the one from each tribe. And of course, we know that Joshua and Caleb, representing two tribes there, are sent out. In the story, we see that it's been around 400 years since the children of Israel have laid eyes on the land of Canaan. They have been in captivity. Now they have been led out by Moses. And of course, we know that they're independent Baptists because they murmured a lot and complained when they didn't have food. You say, "I'm not like that. If I told you I went in there and threw all the ice cream in the trash, there would be a riot in this place. I would have to get some big guys in this church to escort me out, wouldn't I?" So, but they did. They murmured and they complained because that they didn't feel that God was taking care of them enough. They didn't feel that God was on time enough. And they begin to murmur and complain and make excuses and go to Moses. And the Bible says that not only did they murmur against Moses, but they murmured against God. And the Bible says that there was a whole consensus that the whole congregation rose up against Moses with their murmuring. And we see that happened to the children of Israel. But I want to remind us that where we're at in this story, we're at a crossroad. We're at a crossroad where I believe that God would have surely allowed them to enter into the promised land this day. But they failed to do some things that we'll look at tonight. The problem with this story, we'll find, the number one problem with this story is that they didn't trust the Lord. The Bible said in verse 1, verse 2 there, I believe it was, he said, "which I gave." God had already given them this land. And of course, we understand that God was giving them a land that had already afore been a promise that have, and we'll look at it here in a little bit, but He promised them, He said, it's a land that floweth with milk and honey. And here we are, we're at the point where they're going to send the 12 spies out and spy out the land. And Moses says, let's look and see if it's good land or not. What? God just told you it's good. And they go and He says, see if there be some strong people over there. And what's it look like? Well, can I say that by faith, when you use faith, you just go with God's promises and you just inherit what God has for you. By faith, it doesn't mean that we go into a place in our life and we spy it out and say, well, I'll take it, Lord. That's not faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. In other words, God said, I want you to trust me. That this land is the land that I promised to you, and it's good land. By the way, the children of Israel could have picked out any land. They wouldn't have picked the best land because God had already picked it out for them. And so we see that God, because they go in, the 12 spies go in, and we were going to read some of this, the 12 spies go in for 40 days, and because of that, God said, I'm going to let you wander in this wilderness for 40 years. Why is that? So it'll kill off that unbelieving generation, Hebrews 3 tells us. By the way, God's a just God. The only way to find favor with God is through faith. And that's it, in Jesus Christ, our faith in Jesus Christ. And so notice what happens here. I want you to look on down in some scripture. Turn to verse 26 there. Let's start at verse 26. Verse 26, and we'll read down through the end of the chapter here. And I want you to notice what happens. Verse 26 says, And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel and unto the wilderness of Paran and to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we come unto the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Now, remember, they're carrying a stave on their shoulders, two guys, with one cluster of grapes. I dare you to go to Walmart and find a cluster of grapes, number one, that's ripe. Amen? You do what I do. You taste them while you're in there. They're nasty, but you try it because you don't want to get home because you know what they're going to taste like. They cut them when they're green and they're big enough. One of them may they're not going to fill you up. But can you imagine, here they are carrying these grapes back and the cluster of this grape is so big that they have to put it on a stave and carry it between two men. And here they come back I can't help but to get a picture in my mind. Here they come, one cluster of grape on a stave between two guys, not one guy carrying it in his armpit, but they're carrying it on a stave, and they come back and say, don't look so good over there, guys. What? It's like you coming out of the bank with money holding it like this and say, that's not a good bank. Well, obviously something's wrong here. What was wrong? What was God's plan wrong? No. It was the way they saw the land. It was through the eyes that they looked through. The 10 men looked through the eyes of the flesh, and two of them looked through the eyes of faith and said, guys, what are we doing? This land is perfect. This is what land God has given us. Now notice if we go on down. Verse 28 said, nevertheless, the people be strong. Oh, we can't do it. That dwell in the land, and the cities are walled, and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Uh-oh. The Amalekites dwelled in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and Amorites dwelled in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwelled by the sea, and by the coast of the Jordan. Fellas, it's not looking too good. There's a lot of people over in the other land. And I'm going to prove to you here in a little bit, God already told them that the Ike brothers lived over there. He'd already told them, the Amorites, the Jebusites, the Hittites, all those live over there. That's where they live. But he said, I will fight for you. You just trust me. And they go over there and say, no, we can't do it. The eyes of the flesh, I'm telling you, will let you down. Your perception, it helps you get to your destination according to God's plan, not according to our plan. How you perceive things. How do I perceive things? Through faith. Through the eyes of faith, nothing's possible. But through the eyes of faith, through the eyes of the flesh, nothing's possible. Through the eyes of faith, we see that all things are possible with God. And so as we keep reading, notice what happens. A voice comes over and Caleb comes out of the crowd. He says, whoa, wait a minute.
That's not what I saw. Can you imagine that? I love this. The crowd's gathered around. The whole congregation is out there. And 10 guys are up there booing and whining, needing a bottle. We just come over there and it's scary. We can't go. Caleb looks around. He looks around and goes, guys, what's wrong with you? This is what God promised us. And our God's bigger than their God. Notice what he says here. I love this. And verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people. He calmed them down. Notice that they're getting in an uproar because they're like, oh, we can't go in this land. Look at the people. They're bigger. The walls, the cities are walled. He said, and he stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. In other words, let's go. Now notice what he says, and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. And Caleb wasn't saying that through the flesh, not that we are a great army or anything, but we have a big God. When Joshua crosses over the Jordan River into the Promised Land, the first thing he faced was Jericho. And guess who fought for them? They had a weird strategy. We're going to march around the outside of the walls. On the seventh day, we're going to all shout and blow the trumpets. Walls are going to fall down. Everybody's like, okay, Joshua, that's a great plan you got there. But they followed it because they trusted their leader. Right? And guess what happened? God wrought a victory. I always say, it's an unbiblical song. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. He didn't fight a battle there. God did. God fought that battle. Joshua was just a recipient of God's blessings and God's victory on that, in which we are too. Notice on down the next verse. But the men, now notice this, that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we. I can imagine them using an irritating voice. We can't do it. Now notice this. It says in verse 32, it says, and they brought up an evil report of the land. By the way, they brought up an evil report of God's promised land. By the way, that'd be like you coming into God's church and giving an evil report. This is God's church. Amen. This is Christ's church. And this is, you know, and they looked at the promised land, and that was the land of God that gave them the promise. God had told Abraham, wherever thy foot steppeth, I'm going to bless you with that land. You can have that land, the blessing of Abraham. And Isaac and Jacob have been passed down. And now here we go. We're going to possess the land. No. We can't do it. Now notice what happens. They brought an evil report, which they had searched unto, verse 32, unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through we which have gone to search it is the land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof of all the people that we saw. Now notice this. In it are men of great stature. Oh no, there's tall people over there. How must we beat them? David's going to show them. Amen. David never saw Goliath as a giant. He just saw him as a victory through Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's how we should see our giants in our life, not as giants, but as victories that God can bring through us. Now notice what happens. Verse 33 is our text. And there they saw the giants of the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. That's called grasshopperitis. A lot of people have that. Well, preacher, I just can't teach at Sunday school. No, you can't. You can't do it. But God can through you. Oh, but Brother Crawford, you just don't understand. I can't teach in Master Club. No, you can't. But God can. And by the way, looking at yourself as a grasshopper, sometimes it could be humility, but in this case, it was not humility. It was a lack of faith. But I want you to notice the last statement. This is what we want to focus on tonight. And notice what happens. When the giants looked at the children of Israel, here's what they saw. And so were we in their sight. By the way, it's one thing when you see yourself as lacking. But it's another thing when the world sees you lacking. Tonight, I want to preach upon just a very simple subject tonight. A giant's view of God's people. A giant's view of God's people. How do the giants view us? By the way, the giants of this world and the evil of this world ought to see us as competition. The world ought to see us as a hindrance to their work. But I think too many times in the world we live in is that the giants are like, there's another Christian. Man, who cares? They have no power. They're powerless. They have not the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. They've not read their Bible. They've not been praying. They've not been witnessing. What can they do unto me? That's what the giants are looking at, my friends. I'm telling you. And I want to show you through the Scripture what the giants saw in the children of Israel that came over and spied out that land. After we pray, Father, we love you. We thank you. Lord, we certainly need you to help us tonight. I yield myself as an instrument of righteousness in your hand. God, just praying that you'd use me one more time. Lord, I pray that no one would hear my words, but they'd hear your word. And Father, act upon it according to your will and the Holy Spirit leading in their life. Lord, again, thank you for this night. Pray that you bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Look quickly tonight. I'm going to try to get through this pretty quick, but I want you to notice that, your decision will determine your destination. Your decisions will determine your destiny, if you want to say it that way. And this is true in the children of Israel's life. That their decision to look at the land through the eyes of flesh caused them to wander for 40 years in the wilderness. Not really wandering. God led them that way because God was killing off a generation of unbelievers. And God was raising up some leaders in Joshua and Caleb. Now notice, if you will, I'll give you three things tonight. Number one, what the giants saw when they looked at God's people. Number one, they saw doubt. What did they see doubt in? They saw doubt in the promises of God. They saw doubt that in what God had already promised the children of Israel. And you can look it up in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 21 through I think about 23. Is that the Bible says that the people came to Moses. Now, Moses didn't come up with this spy thing. It sounds like a good movie, but he didn't come up with it. Who came up with it was the children of Israel. You study Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 21, you'll see where the Bible says that the children of Israel had a consensus against each other and said, hey, why don't we get one person out of each tribe to go spy out this land? And they came to Moses and told their plan to Moses. And Moses, of course, fearing the people, really, he said, okay, we'll do that. Instead of saying, Moses should have stood up and said, no, we don't have to do that. God's already promised us this land. If you'll just trust God and trust me, we're going right over there. But guess what happened? They doubted. Can you imagine whenever the children of Israel, I don't know why I picture things in my head. They pop over a hill and all the giants are standing there. They're like, uh-oh. Oh, we are grasshoppers in their sight. That's what it says. So were we in their sight. They saw their doubt that God could do what he said he'd do. Folks, I'm telling you, we don't have to walk around proud. I'm not saying that tonight. But we ought to walk around with the confidence of Jesus Christ in our life that, hey, if it's God's will for us to do something, God will make a way for that. When God said, I want you to inhabit the land, I want you to go into the promised land, God was saying, listen, I'm not asking you to do something that's impossible. I'm not asking you to do something that's going to be remotely hard. I'm just asking you to trust me. And guess what? They didn't. They doubted God. And we see the reason that they doubt, that we see how they doubted. They doubted by saying, well, let's send some spies over there. You know what they were really looking for? They were looking for a land that was pristine, ready, and no enemies in it. But can I tell you, that doesn't even exist in the Christian life. You step out by faith, the enemies are there. God allows them to be there because if they wasn't there, that's good English, but if they were not there, guess what? What good would our faith be? What good would be our faith if there was no obstacles in life? If you could walk on water and never sink, then you get to walking on it long enough, you'll forget who's holding you up like Peter did. But God had to allow Peter to sink to remind him. He had to keep his faith in Jesus Christ and keep his eyes on Jesus Christ and not on the things of this world. But whenever they top that, I'm just picturing they top a hill and the children of Israel look over that hill and they see all the giants, they see the walled cities, and they see all the Ike brothers inhabiting this land. Now remember, this is a 40-day search. We can't do it. Can you imagine on this that in 40 days they could not find nothing positive to say about the land? Even though the spoiled brats were carrying one cluster of grapes over there? I was studying this and I've studied every scripture that mentions about this. And one thing I don't find, you study it yourself. Not one time in those 40 days do we ever see where they said they were hungry or thirsty. You know why? Because God took care of them. 40 days. Now, I'm going to show you another thing in the Scripture that you will not find that any of the 12 spies died in the land in 40 days. If God can take care of them for 40 days, He can take care of them forever. It's so simple when you think about it. The giants saw their doubt. Matter of fact, I'll read the verse that God promised to them in Exodus chapter 3, verse 8. The Bible says, "And I come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the..." Now notice what He tells them in Exodus. He said, "Unto the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites." God told them, He said, "This is their land, but you go and I'll protect you and I'll take care of you." God says that. I've met people before where God has told them, said, "Do this." And then they want to pray about it another year. "Well, we better just keep praying about that." In other words, they're scared. If God has revealed to you the answer to your prayer, then you all you have to do is inhabit it. What good is an answered prayer if we don't inhabit it? "God, I pray you bless me with a great wife, and she'd love me and love kids and love you and love church." And open your eyes, and there she is. And you're like, "God, if you have anybody else out there, Lord, if you could work it out." You look around, she's still there. You're like, "Okay, one more time, Lord. Maybe you didn't hear me those other times, but Lord, I forgot to ask you for a beautiful woman on top of all those other things. And but Lord, would you?" Sometimes we do that, don't we? So, sometimes God puts His answer right there, and we don't want to inhabit that answer. We want to keep praying for something that we think would be better for us. And God says, "No, that's what I have for you." I'm telling you what, I would hate to know I was a single person looking for a wife in this world today. They're hard to come by, I'm sure. Amen? But you know what? I'm not getting off on that tangent, but that's Brother Lattice's department. But leave that to you, buddy. But if you think about it, in our lives, sometimes we pray for those jobs, don't we? "God, please, Lord, I need a job, Lord." And God opens up a door and you're like, "Now, Lord, maybe you didn't hear me about the money situation. Is that, Lord, I need to make money, okay?" And the Lord answers your prayer and you see the job. It's good money, but Lord, I forgot to mention about a location. If you can make it close. We want something so easy. We want to walk out our house and have a job there and somebody to wait on us. And by the way, there's a lot of preachers that look for churches without giants in them. They just want to church that flows with milk and honey. Guess what? They don't exist unless the church has not been started. Amen. But sometimes in our life, it's that we're going to have to inhabit these things that have giants in there. Why? Because God wants to build our faith. The trying of our faith is more precious. That's what Peter told us, is that it is a precious thing. Number two, I want to show you what happened here that the giants saw in the children of Israel. They saw the doubt, but also number two, they saw disappointment in what God had for them. And I kind of went over this here. But whenever they went into the land, they were disappointed in what they saw. You know why we know that they were disappointed? Because in the testimony that they gave, the walls, the cities are walled, and all the Ike brothers are over there. And I'll tell you, we just can't do it. They were disappointed. They thought that they were going to go over there, just as I just said. They thought they were going to go over there and it was going to be pristine land. It's kind of like going fishing and you don't feel like you need to throw your rod and reel out there. All you got to do is get to the boat ramp and the fish just come to you like, "Oh, hi." Put them in the live well and they're automatically cleaned. It's not that way. Me and Caleb went this week. Guess what we had to do? I can't tell them all of our secrets, but I'll tell them a little bit. We had to use some things that called cattle cube and put them in the water and the catfish come to them. It's cheating a little bit, but you're feeding the fish before you feed yourself. And guess what? We had to go out there and put the hook in the water. We had to get that nasty old stink bait on our hands. I was a sissy. I used gloves. Put that on our hooks, and we had to sit out there for an hour, 2 hours, and wait for those catfish to participate with the program. It wasn't easy. We had to put the boat in the water. We had to get gas in the boat. We had to make sure we had all of our tackle. We had to make sure we had to go eat Mexican food because that's part of fishing. You know? Can't fish without that. You know, there was some, we had trials in our life. It took them like 2 minutes to bring us our chips and hot sauce. I mean, there was trials in our life. But sometimes in our life, we think everything, we're just supposed to just go into a ministry, or we're supposed to go into an area of our life, and God's just supposed to wave the magic wand over us, and it's supposed to happen. But I'm telling you, sometimes there's going to be giants in our life, and when you go into the place God has for you, and you're disappointed, guess who sees that? The world does. The world sees our disappointments, just as the giants saw the disappointment of the children of Israel. They were like, oh, this is not what I expected. You ever done that? You ever went somewhere? Man, you're hyped up. You know, maybe you and your wife or somebody's going on, you know, we have a date night or something. Somebody's told you about this place. And I never forget the first time I went over to Denton, over there to, what is the, Chef Point. I went to Chef Point. Everybody's just craving about it. It's a 5-star restaurant. So me and my wife, date night, we go over there and it's in a gas station. I told my wife, I said, okay, hope this is good. I was a little disappointed. They saw it on my face. I was like, we're going to eat here? And then the food came out. I smiled again because it's very good. Everything has to do with food, doesn't it? But you know what? Sometimes in our life, our disappointment can be shown in my kids. They know when Daddy's disappointed in something that God has given to us. We need to be careful that the world doesn't see our disappointment. Let me give you the last thing tonight. The giants saw their disillusion. They were disillusioned in what God can do. By the way, don't be disillusioned in what God can do. When they saw those giants, they were like, nope, can't do it. We're done. If Michael Wiggins has a flaw, in which I do, I have a lot of them, my flaw a lot of times is looking at something and going, huh, I can't do that. Done. My wife, that's our favorite word. Done. I can't do it. Then my second Holy Spirit, my wife, reminds me, you can do nothing except it be through the Lord Jesus Christ and in His strength. Folks, I'll tell you what, I would have quit a long time ago if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ working through my life and showing me what He can do. Man, I've done a lot of things in my life in the ministry, and every one of them I want to erase. I tell people all the time, I want to go back to the first church I pastored there in Alabama, and I want to go back and just apologize to them. I am so sorry for all the undoctrinal sermons I preached to you guys. I'm so sorry for, preaching. I was horrible about, when I first started, I was horrible, Brother Clark, about preaching to the people that were not there. I'd preach a whole sermon to the people that wasn't there. The reason they're not here is because of sin. Because they're not here, because they're in their recliner. And the people are going, you're here. I'm like, you know, y'all are here. Why am I preaching to those that are not here and y'all are here? I had to learn that the hard way. I had to learn not to preach to people that are not there and to preach to those that are there. Sounds simple, doesn't it? But I'm telling you, God had to teach me to not show the people my disappointment and my disillusion in what God can do. I've seen people come into our church here. I've seen people come in churches I pastored. I've seen people come into our home church that everybody else said, God ain't going to be able to do nothing with them. I know a 16-year-old boy that was in a little Southern Baptist church that everybody said God would never use that little kid. That was me. I got saved as a 16-year-old boy in a little Southern Baptist church. There was 20-something people there at a revival meeting, and I got saved that night. I came down, I knelt at this side of the altar, and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I don't know how many people told me, man, we'll see how long it lasts, because they knew what kind of child I was, what kind of teenager I was. I was mischievous. But I want to tell you what, I couldn't do anything. And I realized very quickly I couldn't do anything, but I want to tell you, I wasn't disillusioned of what God could do. I allowed God to have my life and just let Him have all the glory. And guess what? He can do the work through us. The children of Israel should have thrown their hands up. This land is too many people here. There's too tall of people here. The cities are walled. We can't do this. But they should have threw their hands up and said, God, we can't do it, but we know You can, because we saw You part the Red Sea. We saw the waters congeal on each side. We saw the dry land that we walked upon. And when we turned around, we saw the Egyptians be sucked up into that water and killed. And God, when the water of Marah was bitter, we saw You throw a tree out there and that water turned sweet. God, we saw the manna from heaven fall when we were hungry. We saw that You put the quail upon the ground. God, we just trust You that You can do it. Kid was in school one time. Teacher was telling the story about Moses and the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea. The teacher said, I don't know what y'all so think this is such a great miracle. Whenever they crossed, they only crossed in a section of the Red Sea. It was only 6 inches deep. One of the young kids in the back said, Amen! Hallelujah! The teacher says, "Johnny, what's wrong with you?" He said, "Well, if that's true, ma'am," he said, "that was a great miracle." She said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, if God drowned the Egyptian army in 6 inches of water, that's even a greater miracle." It's according to how you look at things. What God can do, amen? Teacher quietly went on with her class. The giants of this world want to see us disillusioned. By the way, the children of Israel for 40 years were taken through this desert. And God leading them as that generation died. The book of Hebrews says that they died because of unbelief. Folks, can I tell you, we serve a mighty God tonight. I know you know this. This is rehearsal. This is just repetitive. But we serve a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. We used to sing the old chorus. But sometimes we forget that, don't we? We forget if you need a job, God can give you a job. If you're looking for a mate in life, God can do that. If you're looking for a church home, God can do that. It's right here. Amen. This is a great church. And why seek another one when there's a great one right here? Amen. Now, I understand you want God's will for your life. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, you know, we are truly blessed here. I don't know what your need is. Maybe it's a physical need. Maybe it's a spiritual need. God can meet that need. God, Pastor just said this the other night. How big is your God? It's how big we see Him through the eyes of faith. Can I say the children of Israel failed the first test? They failed many tests. But they failed the first test of trusting God and His promises when God said, "I'll give you that land. All you have to do is inhabit it. All you have to do is go there and trust me." And guess what? When they went there, they saw through the eyes of the flesh. 10 of them did. And they had the consensus that day. They were the majority that day. Caleb said, "No, we can do it, guys." They said, "Caleb, you don't know what you're talking about." Caleb used his eyes of faith. And he said, "We can do this. God can bring a victory through us and for us and for His glory. But we have to trust Him." Maybe tonight, maybe whatever your giant is in your life. Trust me, I have my own giants. Whatever they are, how do they look at us? How do they see us? Do they see us doubting? Do they see that disappointment in our life sometimes when we don't think God is truly blessing our life? Maybe we're disillusioned about what God can do. Maybe it's time to come out of that slumber, out of that slump and say, "You know what? I'm just going to trust the Lord. I'm just going to trust Him. I'm going to keep the faith. I'm going to put my faith in Him. I'm going to keep the faith. And whatever God does in my life, it'll be for His glory." And just rest in Him. He can do it. Let's stand tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this blessed night that You've given us. And Lord, as we come to the hour of invitation, we pray that You bless. Lord, maybe there's some people here tonight. Whatever the giants are in their life, Lord, they can overcome them through You and Your power. Lord, maybe tonight we need to change how the giants of this world, how the spiritual wickedness in this world views the child of God. And the Lord, the way we change that view, we change it through faith, through trusting You. And Lord, never wavering from that trust, from that faith. Help us, Lord, in this hour. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn 5.